but the nurse asking me if I felt like pushing. And of course, I couldn't feel anything. So I was like, I don't know. And she's like, well, do you want to try?
Welcome to the Happy Home Birth Podcast, your source for positive natural childbirth stories and your community of support, education, and encouragement in all things home birth and motherhood. What does it look like to take charge of your birth experience after a previously disempowering one? Hey there, happy home birthers, and welcome to this week's episode of the Happy Home Birth Podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Fusco, and today we'll be speaking with Mackenzie, a mother to two children and student from the Home Birth Collective, with two very different pregnancy and birth stories. We'll learn how Mackenzie's first pregnancy and birth laid a groundwork for questioning herself, yet how that's absolutely not the end of her story, and what she did to change her experience of pregnancy, birth, and motherhood. Okay, let's jump in. Please remember that the opinions of my guest may not necessarily reflect my own and vice versa. And this show is not medical advice, it's an educational tool. So continue to take empowered responsibility for your health and your family. Mackenzie, thank you so much for coming on the Happy Home Birth Podcast.
I'm so excited to be here and to share my story with all these fellow home birth junkies.
I'm so excited to have you. It is always such a blast and an honor to get to reconnect with students, especially just having been able to kind of go alongside you in your pregnancy as you prepare, and then to come back on the other side and hear, like, okay, spill the tea. What actually happened? So fulfilling. So before we get there, though, would you mind taking just a moment to introduce yourself and your family to the listeners?
Of course. So my name is Mackenzie. My husband and I, we are from Bridgewater, Virginia. That's where we both grew up. We are high school sweethearts. So we've been together for, I think I counted the other day, 15 years, which is crazy to think about. I'm 30 years old, and we live in Blacksburg, Virginia now, so not where we grew up. And we have two children. Our first is Cora. She's 4 years old. And our second is Credence, and he was born 7 weeks ago. So he's a little fresh baby.
Oh, that is the best. I am so excited to be able to hear your stories, both with Cora and with Credence.
Yes.
So let's talk about that. So you have been with your husband for half of your life. That
I know, which is wild.
Amazing. That's so unbelievable. And what was your journey into pregnancy like that first time?
Yeah. Okay. So, like I said, she's four, and we weren't necessarily trying for her. We were doing the whole, let's talk about it in 6 months, you know, so six, and then 6 months would come and we would kind of reevaluate and be like, I think, you know, Christmas, let's talk about it at Christmas. So we kept on kind of doing that, kicking the can down the road. And of course, one of those where we were kicking the can down the road, I got pregnant, which obviously is always a blessing in disguise. But her pregnancy and that whole time was pretty, basic, I would say, when it comes to what any new mom would do. So when I found out, I immediately called my OB, because that's what I thought you had to do. And I remember they were like, okay, well, we'll see you at 8 weeks. And, you know, at this point, like, I was maybe 4 weeks, and I was like, oh my goodness, like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I was so not trusting of my body at all. I was like, I can't wait until 8 weeks to see them. So that was, I remember being very like, I don't know, it just kind of freaked me out a little bit that I was going to have to wait that long. But I did. And, the first thing that kind of started this whole, when I look back at it now, and I'm like, man, I wish I would have done something different, was my OB that I normally saw, she had too many like OB clients at that time. So she, or my OBGYN that I normally saw, she had too many OB clients. So they put me off onto another OB, and I never even met this person or this doctor before. And we just did not vibe from the very beginning. But again, on hindsight, you know, I wish I would have put my foot down then and, you know, would have went and had some other appointments with other doctors. But I guess I just didn't know that was a thing that you interviewed doctors. I just stuck with him.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, everything with that pregnancy was pretty normal. I was sick a lot up until like 16 weeks. So that was hard. With every appointment, I definitely, you know, looking back, it's like things that stand out that I'm like, oh man, like at the moment I knew that was off and weird, or like the fact that the things that he would say, but in the moment, like I just again was like, oh, I guess it's just how it is. But he was very like, when he would speak to you, you could tell like it was rehearsed. Like what he said was very fast. You know, he said it a million times. He wasn't really looking at you when he said it. The appointments were like 15 minutes. You were in and out. You know, he would just zoom through this like dialogue and they'd be like, okay, do you have any questions? And, you know, as he felt like he was walking out the door. And it just made me feel like very like, I don't know. I hated the feeling of it. I hated it. Like almost every appointment I would leave and I would want to cry. Like I wasn't like excited. I don't know how to explain it. And other than I think he kind of made me feel stupid a little bit, because I would also say stuff when I would ask questions and he'd be like, oh, you've been Googling again. And I'm like, I don't have like an older sister. Like I didn't grow up around a lot of babies. So it's like, I hadn't been around a lot of pregnant people. All of my friends, like I was like the first one to get pregnant out of my friends. So it just felt very like, well, who else am I supposed to ask? Like, you know? So anyways, that was kind of the process, you know, through that pregnancy. Again, I was really sick, which was not fun at all. But other than that, her pregnancy, I was, you know, it was very healthy. I was very active. I worked out a lot during that pregnancy, which again, looking back at it, I probably worked out a little bit too much, especially towards the end. I probably should have calmed down a little bit. I did a lot of spin classes, which is a very high intensity like workout. And I was like so proud of myself for doing that through my whole pregnancy. But now like it's funny, you look back and I'm like, yeah, that's probably wasn't the healthiest thing to do. But yeah, you live and you learn. Mm-hmm. So that was her, you know, growing her. And she was born in April of 2019. And we did take some classes with her. Like we took like, I don't know, something that the hospital provided. And again, this was another moment when we were doing this class that kind of like stood out to me. When we were there, I remember the lady teaching it asked, who all is going to try to have this natural, or like who's getting an epidural? And there was maybe like 12 other mamas in the class, and probably 8 of them went ahead and just raised their hand. Like they already knew that they were going to get epidurals. And at that time, like I was like, no, I knew I wanted to do it all natural. I wanted to try my hardest to like, once to experience that. And I mean, that's kind of like how I live my life, the values of my life. So it just matched up that way. And I was just shocked. I was like, wait, what? Like, why are so many of them raising their hands? Like, why wouldn't they at least try, you know, to have it naturally? And that was another thing I remember standing out, like, again, of like kind of being introduced into the birth world of like not realizing like how common that was. But the birth class was like, it was good. I mean, I don't remember a lot from it, but I do know like, I don't know. It's hard to remember back, but I do remember like they didn't really prepare you. They kind of prepared you for like what it was going to look like when you got the epidural and all that stuff. Not like right. How to do everything else. Yeah. And
it's so more of like, this is how you interact with the hospital system. Yeah. When you're having your baby.
Like, yes, exactly. And like, it was good. You know, like they took us a tour of the unit. So it was nice to see like where you were going to be at before. You know, I think I did get some good stuff out of it, but yes, definitely looking back at it, it was not the preparation. Like a 6-hour class is not a preparation that you need. And I fault myself a little bit too. I should have prepared more, but I didn't, again, I just didn't know. I think the gist of me saying that I wanted to have a natural birth was me saying I want to have a natural birth. Like, I might have, again, Googled some stuff, but like, I didn't put in much beyond that. So again, she was born in April 2018, and I had a 25-hour labor with her. I went into labor at 5:30 a.m. And of course, most of it was early labor. So it wasn't, you know, it took its sweet time. So if I went into labor at 5:30, it probably wasn't until like around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock that it was starting to get really intense. And I knew enough that I wanted to labor at home as long as I could and then go in. And so that's what we did. And we just kind of walked around our property. We live on a river. So we kind of walked up and down the river and just tried to like have a relaxing day as much as possible. This is kind of a funny story to it. My husband had loaded up the truck the night before. Obviously didn't know I was going to go in labor the next day, but he had loaded up the truck the night before to go to the dump. And it was Easter that year. And so he was like, well, we have to go to the dump because like, we can't go to the hospital with a truck full of trash and then be there for, you know, we don't know how long we're going to be there. Like, yeah. It was like, we have to, take it. And so I was like, okay. And this was earlier in the day. Like my contractions obviously were there, but they weren't like super strong. And obviously I must've felt good enough to be like, okay, I'll go to the dump with you. And we get there and they're closed because it was Easter. And we're like, are you kidding me? So we own a landscaping company and we have, you know, dumpsters on our property, but it's another 15 minutes, like the other way. So we did risk it and drove out there to dump the trash, and maybe it was a good distraction of everything, but we still laugh about that, kind of like we had to do a dump run the day that I was in labor. But other than that, I mean, honestly, like it's early labor, it must have not been too eventful because I don't remember a lot of it. Like I remember us walking around the property. Obviously, I remember doing that. I did want my mom to be at the birth. So again, but I wanted to be here in the house with my husband. I knew that much. So it's hard because she lives 2 hours away. So I knew I was going to have to line everything up perfectly. And so I didn't want to call her too soon, but like, you know, I didn't want her to obviously miss it either. So I think around six, I was like, okay, things are starting to feel pretty intense. I went ahead and called her and I was like, you know, you should just go ahead and make your way down. Like at this point, like I'd been in labor for 13 hours. I'm like, surely like things are probably going to start ramping up real fast here soon. And she got here around 8:30. And it was about that time, I guess my contractions must've been in that time range where they tell you to come in. And I was obviously starting to probably get a little panicky in the sense of like, these are really intense. It's time to go. Like, let's go to the hospital. So on the way there, you know, in my mind, I'm like, surely I have to be 7 centimeters at least. Like, at least I have to be. Like, I've been in labor this long. Like, they're this close together. Like, that's what they said. When they're this close together, I'm probably this. And, you know, so I'm, you know, we're going to be having this baby tonight. So we get there and they check me. And I remember they were like, I guess I was barely a four. Like, you know, they kind of had to throw that barely in there. You're barely a four. And they don't keep you unless you're a four. So I remember hearing the nurse say to somebody, like, do you think they'll keep her? And I was just like, I don't know. Like in that moment, like, yeah, all the doubt probably set in at that moment of like, oh my gosh, I'm only a four. I'm barely a four. And they're even contemplating if they're going to keep me, like, you know, so they did make me leave. But, I think in that moment, it kind of just set in of like, okay, like this is a lot more than I thought it was going to be.
Well, but even that language, the language that they're using when they're speaking to you is so defeating. And yeah I mean, you're barely a four.
Yeah, exactly. I think
they'll keep it. Like, how defeating is that already? When obviously now we know, like, you could go from a four to a 10 in like 2 seconds, but that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I can't even do this right. Like,
yeah, exactly. I mean, it definitely, like, when I look back to it, that is like, I feel like the moment that things kind of turned for me, because it did scare me when they were like, you're only a four. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I've already been doing this for this long. Like, even though I wanted to do this natural, I think at that moment I was like, you're not going to make it. Like I was, you know, I set that in my own head. So, let's see here. Once we got there, you know, my mom got there. My husband was there with me. I think at that moment, like I just needed somebody to like, kind of like, yes, my husband and I took this class and yes, they gave us ideas of things to do for pain management, but my husband's not a doula. Like he doesn't, you know, and even in that moment, like I couldn't remember a lot of it. And there was no way I was going to be like, let's get the Rebozo out. Or like, we didn't even have a Rebozo, but you know, you could use a sheet. Like I wasn't going to like, I don't know. I just wasn't in that mindset. Obviously he wasn't either. So I feel like we kind of were scrambling a little bit of like, let's try this, let's try that. But I don't feel like the nurses were really like helping with that. You know, I had two nurses. One was a travel nurse and I felt like she just was literally like in and out, like get the vitals and leave. And then the other one, she was like a new grad, which in ways, you know, she had some oomph behind her of like, you know, she was a fresh nurse. So I feel like she was trying to like help me, but there wasn't a lot of ideas of like, okay, we've tried this. Now let's try this, you know, like let's go through the list. And soon after we got there, I had really bad back labor. So that set in pretty soon after we got there. And I think about it now, it's interesting because, you know, obviously I was progressing, but it really got painful once I got to the hospital. And everything that I know now, I'm like, it's probably because I was tensing up. And like, I obviously was tensing up, but you know, things, the environment was different. Like I went from being in my home with my husband to being here with, you know, just not, I don't know, like I now that I think about it, like, and looking in that perspective, I'm like, I think my body was saying, nope, like, don't do this. Like, go home, go back home. But yeah, so I definitely felt that way with the nurses. Like they just weren't really like helping me. And, I remember them telling me that, you know, I was fighting the contractions and that I needed to try to relax. And I just was like, I just remember thinking like, I don't know how, like, I don't know how to do it. And I definitely was getting scared. Like I definitely was falling into that fear, tension, like cycle. So, I mean, I'm sure my body was fighting it all the way. And again, the back labor, oh my gosh, that was awful. And now everything I know too, it frustrates me because like no one ever like palpated me or anything to be like, okay, this baby is posterior, not in the best position. Like, let's do the mild circuit. Let's do this. Like, let's do some other things to like try to get baby in a better position. Oh, you're having really bad back labor. Like, let's, you know, I feel like now, like everything that I know and like talking to my midwives the second round, there was so many like, well, because my fear again was going to be back labor with the second ones. I brought that up a lot with my midwives and they were like, well, we'll do A, B, C, and D, you know, like if you do have it, it's, you know, we'll get you through it. And there was none of that with my first. It was just like, okay, well, keep bouncing on the ball. So yeah, I think it's so hard to remember, but at some point I did decide to get some sort of pain medicine. I don't even know what I got. It was out of desperation at that point and it did nothing. And of course, once I got it, they were like, you have to lay in bed now. And it's like, maybe they told me that and I just don't remember, but like, it was like, they gave it to me and I started getting sick. And I remember I like shot up and was like trying to get out of the bed and they were like, nope, you need to lay back down. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so awful. So now I'm sick, wanting to throw up, and this pain, I mean, like it was, you know, it was creeping up on me really bad. And so that obviously didn't help. And, I think at some point, I think they checked me again at some point and I was 7 centimeters. And I just threw the towel in at that point. I told everyone to leave the room except for my husband. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't. And he was like, you told me, because, you know, we talked about it beforehand. I was like, if I say I can't do it, like, just encourage me. And he's like, you told me, like, just encourage you. And I just looked at him. I was like, I can't. Like, I just can't. Like, I need you to go tell them that I want the epidural. Like, I just can't do it. And so I threw the towel in and I got the epidural. And I got the epidural probably around like 12 or 1 in the morning. So we had been at the hospital for at least 4 or 5 hours and I didn't have her until 6:30. So another 6 hours. And, after that, I mean, there's not really, much that happens after that other than, my mom and my husband were like, I'm going to go take a nap now. And I remember like, well, okay, like, I guess I should nap too. So I tried, but obviously it was really hard. And, my mom was trying to braid the nurse's hair. I remember that. I remember laying in bed hearing her out at the nurse's station being like, you should let me braid your hair. And at some point they all came in with their hair French braided. I was like, are you kidding me?
So cute.
Yeah. So that's kind of a funny story too. With her, I'm always like, mom, don't, when we had Credence, I was like, please don't try to braid all the midwives' hair. So yeah, so she was born at 6:30. I only had to push for 30 minutes, which was great. You know, we got right to the point. Oh, another thing that I do remember, when I got to 10 centimeters, it was like, I hate this because I look back at it and I look how like, I just gave so much control over of my own body, and it makes me mad, but you live and you learn, you know. But I remember being 10 centimeters and the nurse asking me if I felt like pushing. And of course I couldn't feel anything. So I was like, I don't know. And she's like, well, do you want to try? And I remember being like, I don't know. Should I? Like, you know, just being like, I don't know. Like, you tell me what to do. Like, you know, I at this point, like, I don't even know what's happening. So, I also, that kind of stands out to me too, just like of my own like confidence of like, I don't know, should I push? Like, you tell me. We did, and she was born 30 minutes later, which I'm so glad I didn't have to push for a long time. And I mean, obviously like, them laying her on my chest, like you always remember that feeling. Like it's like the best feeling in the world. So she was healthy. Everything was great. Overall, my labor was pretty like straightforward. You know, there wasn't like anything super chaotic or crazy, you know, but it wasn't what I had gone in for, you know, and I felt empowered afterwards, but it took me actually a really long time to realize how unpowered I really was. It took me a really long time to unravel how it had happened and that it wasn't the birth experience that I wanted. And I definitely held on to the whole like, well, you know, I didn't have a C-section, or like, it could have gone a lot worse and she was fine. Like for the most part, like, you know, when I did start my friends, well, just anybody, you start hearing their birth stories. Like I did kind of realize like mine wasn't awful, I guess, you know? And so I definitely held on to that. And then over the years, when I really started to unpack it, I realized actually, you know, I didn't feel empowered, and it wasn't just in the birthing experience. It was the whole pregnancy. Like, you know, I felt very just like handing my body over to the system and them telling me like what to do. But of course, at that moment, I couldn't see it like that. Like, I remember praising the epidural. Like, I was like, it's the best thing ever. Like, you know, everybody should get one. Like, there's no way you could do it without it. Like, I remember just thinking all those things, afterwards. And, so she was born at around 6:30 a.m. She was right at 7 pounds, 19 inches long. And we named her Cora, and, she was perfect, obviously, in my eyes. And we didn't stay long at the hospital. My husband actually was really adamant about getting us out of there like ASAP. And, I remember being difficult. I don't know why he was so adamant about it, but I do remember him being like, okay, so when can we leave? And they were like, well, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that, da, da, da. And it took a long time. Like, they just kept on like, you know, they would come back, you know, and we'd be like, when can we leave? And it'd be like, well, we got to do this. And it'd be like 3 hours or goodbye. And it took a really long time to get them to get their wheels spinning. And they actually wanted us to stay there another night, not because we needed to, they just wanted us to. I don't really know why, but we were there one night, and that night was it sucked because I kept on falling asleep in bed with her, and they would come in like, I was so tired because we had her in the morning at 6:30 a.m. Obviously that whole day we had visitors, and you know, you're kind of running like on like endorphins and all this stuff. So I didn't really sleep during that day. And then the night comes and they kept on coming in and wanting me to feed her. She just didn't want to eat at first. Like she would latch on, but she just like didn't want to eat. And like, but they would still wake me up to wake her up to feed her like ever so often. They would obviously come in to do vitals. If I did fall asleep with her, they would come in and wake me up. Like I just felt like I didn't sleep at all. And she ended up throwing up at some point. And like, it was all this like, just probably just like from, you know, the birthing process, all this stuff. And it was like, after that, she was hungry, but it was just like her poor little belly probably hurt. And it was like intuitively then I remember feeling like she doesn't want to eat. Like I know, like, you know, I know that they need to eat and I know like they want to see them, you know, getting stuff in that first like day, but like, I think her little belly just hurt. And I remember feeling that intuitively, like, I don't want to keep forcing her on here. Like, yeah, we'll try, but I don't want to keep forcing it. And, that was kind of uncomfortable too, with them kind of like kept on being like, you need to try again. And so, yeah, eventually we got out of there. We came home and I mean, you know, everything just kind of just started, you know, I mean, you're a new mom, you have no idea what to expect. She, you know, I was very lucky. Like she was, she did end up having obviously latching on and eating very well. She was a good nurser. And, you know, she was very typical, like there wasn't anything out of the norm of like that we had to keep an eye on or any of that. So like looking back at it, I'm very thankful for that because I know it can be hard. It's already hard enough. So we kind of just started the process and went on. And honestly, those first couple months, like I felt really good. Like I truly did. Like I felt very, I mean, I might have not at the moment felt very like intuitive about what I was doing, but looking back at it, I'm like, wow, like I actually really did step up and like just do what I knew I needed to do. And yeah, I felt, you know, really good those first couple months. And then it was probably, I don't know, around like 3 months or 4 months, for whatever reason, things just started feeling really hard. And it was like they felt harder than when she was like a newborn. You know, I was really tired and I think I was just like hitting that wall of being like, okay, I've been doing this for 4 months. Like, when's my break? You know, and like, you don't get a break. and something else I should have like mentioned is like, we don't have any family where we live. So like we have a great support system. They're just not nearby, you know? And so people like our parents would come and visit when they could and come help when they could. But it's not like I had somebody here with me all the time. And we own a landscaping company, a business. And so, you know, again, we just didn't realize like how much help that I would need. And my husband only took off. We only prepared for him to take off a week. So she was born on a Monday and that next Monday he was back at work. And I do remember like, up until that point, like I hadn't been alone with her yet. And I do remember once, you know, he went to work and like that first day, I'm like, wait, like nobody asked me like if I'm okay to be here by myself. And I remember feeling really silly, feeling that way of like, she's your baby. Like you have to be okay with this. And I did, I just sucked it up. But I just remember this feeling of like, no one like asked me like if I was ready for this, like they're just all like leaving me now. And which, you know, it wasn't like they were leaving me, but it felt kind of like that. It felt lonely. So again, I powered through those feelings in the beginning. I probably pushed a lot of them down and had a lot of thoughts of like, well, you're a mom now, like this is what moms do and you need to suck it up and just you'll sleep later. Like, don't worry. You know, like I don't know. I pushed a lot of those emotions and feelings down and I definitely did not know how to ask for help. And I think it all caught up to me around that 3 to 4 months. It definitely started to hit me of like, okay, you know, we are obviously getting into a groove of stuff and and I was like, but I just felt off and I can't even really tell you now, like how I felt off because everything that I felt off, like, you know, being extra tired or just being irritable or like, just not being myself. Like it was like, well, you did just have a baby, you know, 4 months ago and you haven't really slept in the past 4 months. And, you know, so I kind of just chalked out all of it up to that and I was, you know, it will get better. It will get better. And, it didn't. Like, I just felt like I was in survival mode for the longest time. And it was about a year postpartum with her that I finally talked to my doctors, and they still were just like, well, you just had a baby a year ago. Like, you know, and I was like, okay, maybe so. And I think I gave it a little bit longer and went back to them. I'm like, okay, like, we're this far out. Like, I still feel the same way. Like, so please, can we just like do some tests? Like, I don't know what, like, what's wrong, but I just want to see, like, I just don't think something's right. And we did some tests, but I can't even tell you like what they checked, but of course everything came back normal and we kind of just brushed it off. Didn't think much about it. And this went on for a while. And at some point I just started doing my own digging and then finally went to them of like, okay, I need you to run labs on this, this, and this. Like, I just like, I'm like a type of person, like I listen to a ton of podcasts, obviously that's how I found you. And I love to do like my own research with that stuff and like putting my health first. Like, even though I was so buried at that moment, like I knew I was like the only one that was going to be able to get myself out of it. And so I really did take, like, I really tried to dive in and be like, okay, what can I do to, you know, figure this out? And I had to go to them and basically specifically say, like, will you test these certain things? I don't remember the other things I asked them to test, but one of them was Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune disorder of your thyroid. And, you know, so that was one of them. And it came back that I had it. And I was like, all right, I knew it. Like, it was like such a relief at that point to be like, okay, something, like, I knew something was off. So after that, I really, you know, try to dive into healing myself as much as possible. But I made a huge mistake and I did the AIP diet, which I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's like it stands for autoimmune protocol, which basically, you do a diet where you eat nothing. I mean, you eliminate everything. Like, you eliminate, nightshades. So you can eat veggies, but you have to eliminate nightshades. You eliminate grains, dairy, gluten. You pretty much eat fruit, veggies, minus the nightshades and meat, which you're like, okay, like that doesn't sound too bad, but there's a lot of spices that derive from, you know, different types of vegetables or different types of whatever. So it's like, it's really hard. And it's really stressful. And I made the mistake of thinking I had to do that because of course it had to be food, right? That was causing this autoimmune disorder. Like something that I was eating was causing this. And so you have to eliminate everything for 30 days and then you slowly introduce stuff and then you wait for a flare, which, like, it's so because like looking back, I'm like, I was in a constant flare. So like me eliminating everything, like I was, you know, all I did was just stress myself out more. I like lost even more weight, because with a thyroid or disorder, you can lose a lot of weight, and I had, and I just lost even more. I just basically what I did was just put my body into more of an inflamed state. And so I did that for a couple months and got my labs retested thinking like, okay, like kind of the same thing, like, you know, with the going in and I'm like, surely I'll be 7 centimeters. Like, you know, surely my labs are going to like show that I've really like put in the work over these past like 2.5 months of doing all this. And they were worse. Like everything had gotten way worse. And I had like no support from like my doctors. Like, I will say that they were pretty like upfront with like, we don't really like specialize in this. Like, so I mean, they didn't like drag me along of like, here, take this, take that. Like, they were very just like, you know, if you want to reach out to a specialist, you can, but like, we don't like really like, you know, so they were, I guess, honest with me, but I was kind of just trying to figure it out all myself. And of course, everything was worse after I did that. And I just felt so defeated. I felt worse than I'd ever felt. I was so tired. I mean, honestly, my body was just starving is really like what was going on. And so I, around that time, found like the pro-metabolic lifestyle and was like, okay, this makes sense. Like this makes a lot more sense, like nourishing your body. And that was like, honestly, that's where everything just like changed for me. And like, my life has just been like on an up, like going uphill ever since then of just like taking that like approach to like my nutrition. And then like once you do that, and then also with the pro-metabolic lifestyle, it's very just like, you know, taking care of yourself, like your mind and regulating your nervous system and all that good stuff. And it just like everything just slowly kind of like started to fall into place. And like, I started to get more clear on like my vision of what I wanted and how I wanted to live my life. Things just felt better. And somewhere in there, you know, I started kind of being like, I'm starting to get closer to wanting to have our second. You know, a lot of reason why we waited so long was because I was like, I don't want to have another kid right now because I just don't feel like I don't feel good. And I just knew it wasn't smart. You know, I just knew it wasn't smart to like introduce life with me feeling that way, because moms really are like the center of a family. And I was still like obviously trying to give Cora everything that I had and be the best mom that I could be to her. And I felt like I was coming up short doing that. So it was like, I just wasn't ready to have our second. But somewhere in there, like when I started, you know, eating differently and just taking different approaches to stuff, I was like, okay, I think we're getting closer. I think we're getting ready. And I was like, I'm doing things different this time. Like, we're peeling back the layers, the onion layers here. Like, let's get to like the root cause of all this. Let's get to the center of it. And we're going to do things different. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't really know how it was going to transpire, but like, I just knew things were going to be different. And I just, somewhere in there, I read the book, The First 40 Days, and that kind of started it all. So, you know, The First 40 Days, for anyone who hasn't read it, it very much so talks about just really nourishing a new mom, and how if you don't nourish them, and if the mom doesn't rest and take that time in that postpartum season to really bond with her baby, you know, it really shows up later on, whether in a disease or postpartum depression, or, you know, it can show up right away, it can show up later in your life. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is what happened to me. Like, this is exactly what happened to me. Like, I just threw myself like back into the world way too quickly. I didn't mention this, but like after I had Cora, like you couldn't keep me in the house. Like I was like, it was like the walls were closing in on me. And like, she was like 2 weeks old and I'm like, we're going on a walk. Like we are leaving. We are going on a walk. Like I was so, I don't know if I don't want to say I was bored, because I don't think you can be bored with a newborn, but I was just so like, I guess, lonely. And like, and it felt like I've just never really have been one just sit all day. And that's what you do when you have a newborn. Like, and no one, and I hate to say that no one prepared me for that, because that's unfair to put that on everybody else. Like at some point, like you kind of have to like prepare yourself. But like, I just wasn't prepared to sit all day, and it was driving me crazy. So I definitely did not follow the first 40 days with her. And I could see it so clearly, like when I looked back over the past few years, how everything just snowballed and how my health really, you know, took a toll on it. And I was just trying to like keep it all together. You know, I wasn't really outwardly sharing it with a lot of people, you know. So on the outside, it probably looked like, hey, she's fine. Like, we don't need to check in on her. Like, she's good. Which again is another mistake, you know. But I, you know, read The First 40 Days, and it was such an eye opener. And then somewhere in there, I discovered your podcast. And I'm so good about like remembering how I stumble upon stuff, but I've tried to rack my brain so many times how I stumbled across your podcast. And I don't know how. I don't know if somebody recommended it to me or how it happened, but it was like a life changer. Mm-hmm. So I'll never forget, like, I was already feeling very motivated by the first 40 days. And then I had to go somewhere, like travel, but I was going to be traveling by myself. And so I was going to be in a car by myself for like 3 or 4 hours. And I started listening to your podcast and I was like addicted. Like I could not stop. Like I think I just like randomly picked one and I was like, just like, you know, scrolled through and picked one and listened to it. And if I remember correctly, the woman, she first had a birth center. Like I don't even think I really knew what the podcast was about, like being about home birth, even though it says happy home birth. I know that sounds so silly, but like I think her first one, she had a birth center birth, and it just like listening to, I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's amazing. Like, I want to do that. I want to have a birth center birth. Like, this is amazing. And then she goes into her second pregnancy and she talks about how they have a home birth. And I was like, well, I want to do that. Like, that's even better. Like, that's so awesome. And it was like, I was addicted after that. Like, I just could not get enough. And honestly, it all after that, like, it was like everything changed from like, well, still nourishing myself, but like just looking forward to this next pregnancy, whenever that was going to be, and preparing myself for that. And just me making this like conscious decision at that moment, like this next pregnancy and this next postpartum experience is going to be way better. Like we're not going to go there again. Like, it doesn't have to be like this. Like, we're going to make all the effort right now to change that. So I definitely listened to a lot of podcasts, a lot of yours, and then I really like started honing in on my nutrition even more, you know, getting supplementing with like the right stuff to like prepare my body for pregnancy. And it was like the end of May of last year, we went to the beach, and on the way back from the beach, my husband actually said to me, he goes, so I've been thinking, and I'm like, oh Lord. 'Cause you know, when they think, you know, you don't know what's coming next. And he said, I've been thinking, he's like, I think we should just go ahead and start trying. He was like, you know, it could take a couple months. And, you know, so we kind of like started doing the timeline of like, well, if it takes, it's probably going to take a couple months, you know, like it'll probably be 3 months, 4 months, who knows? And so we started doing that timeline of like, okay, and then that would put us having a baby at this time and blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, okay, like it was like, I kept on like saying like, we're going to start trying soon, but I'm like so bad at like pulling the trigger, being like, okay, let's do it now. You know? So it was like having him say that was like, okay, like if you want to, like, let's do it, you know? So we tried that month, and then, oh, this is so cool. So on my 30th birthday, I was pregnant, but I didn't know I was pregnant yet. And we went to a music festival, and it was, again, it was my 30th birthday, and there was a lady there doing Reiki, and I was like, I'm going to do that. I want to do that. It's my birthday. I'm going to do that. And so she did Reiki on me, and afterwards I was like, so like, you know, you're just kind of like talking to him, and she goes, you have a lot of energy in your uterus. And like, and I was like, oh. And I didn't tell her like beforehand, like that we were trying. Right. And so, and I still didn't know then that I was pregnant. So it was still very early. And so I did tell her, it's like, well, that's interesting you say that. 'Cause me and my husband, like, this is, we're trying to have our second child. This is our first like month. And I just thought like, well, maybe I am pregnant. But then I also was like, chalked it up to a little bit too of like, well, I've opened that space. So like, maybe that was the energy that she was feeling, because I had also opened up the idea of us having our second child. And, anyways, I just always like think back to that and just think it's so cool. 'Cause like, she definitely felt the energy like of my baby. But I guess I jumped a little ahead. So yes, I got pregnant right away, but I started to have cold feet towards the end of that month. Like right before, like I was about to like test probably positive. I had reached out to another doctor that was going to help me with like my autoimmune disorder. And I had an appointment with her. And again, I still hadn't tested positive. And I told her like, we were going to start trying, and she was like totally supportive, but we had been going through, like different things to test to see what possibly could be triggering my autoimmune disorder. Because yes, it was most definitely stress and all that other stuff, but we were kind of like, you know, just making sure there wasn't anything else like with my gut or like, you know, just anything else that could possibly be triggering it. And everything that we had been testing up to that point, I was coming back negative for, which is great, but you know, there wasn't this like obvious sign. So she was like, the last thing that I would really want to test you for would be Lyme's disease. And we had just talked about, mean like trying, and she was like, you know, if you do get pregnant, like how I would treat you, like we couldn't do it while you're pregnant, and you wouldn't be able to do it while you're breastfeeding. So like, she was like, you know, we could just knock this out, like, you know, get this test done, and if you do have it, just like knock it out really quick, and hope, well, not always quick, but you know what I mean, like, you know, and then you could start trying. And so that night I came home to my husband, I was like, I just think like we should just do this. Cause I was so set on having this like perfect postpartum experience that I didn't want there to be anything like wrong with my body. I definitely got like a little obsessed with like that idea of just trying to fix everything beforehand, which I think is great. Like you should do that to a certain extent, but life is life too. Like you can't put everything on hold. So I did come home that night and was like, okay, so I think we should just wait like 3 or 4 months. She says like, I could get rid of this in that time period and blah, blah, blah. And I think it, like the next morning I'd like test the positive.
Just kidding. Which is
totally, yeah. It's just totally fine. Like that's life, right? Like, I mean, I wasn't mad about it or anything like that. It was awesome. You know, like we were so excited, but when I tested positive, so that next morning, like my husband was with me. I guess we still didn't know if I was going to be or not, but we were like, okay, he wanted to be with me. So we did it really quick and you know, there was nothing there. And he was like, okay. So he left, he went to work. And a little bit later, I looked at it again. It wasn't like a lot later. I mean, it was like 15 or 20 minutes and I could see the faintest line, like the faintest line. And I was like, huh, you know, like, I wonder if it is. And I didn't tell him because I didn't want to like be all like, oh, I'm pregnant, you know, and so I didn't tell him right away. And then I took another one the next morning and it was definitely more like obvious the next day. And I was like, okay, well, I've already gotten like two, even though the one the next day was like still a little faint. I'm like, I've gotten two, like I definitely am. And I remember going to work that day and like, it was just like the best feeling. Like it was just different because like with my daughter, it was like such a surprise. And while I'll be completely honest, I wasn't like upset when I found out with my daughter, but I was just completely shocked. Like I was like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, it wasn't like I was wanting it. I hate to say it like that, but like it, you know, it just, that's how it felt. And so this was different. Like, you know, it was like, I was wanting it. I've been preparing for it. And it just was like, oh my gosh, like there's a little baby in me. Like, it was just like the best feeling ever. And I remember that day just being like, it's a boy. Like, I just know it. Like, it's a boy. Like, I just felt like, it just felt like it was. And I just was so excited. And anyways, so I eventually told my husband, like, pretty soon after that, I'm not good at keeping secrets. Like, I wish I was one of those people that would like do like a cute announcement with him, but like, I just can't. Like, I'm just like, I'm pregnant and just blurted it out. And so it started, you know, again, like you go into this pregnancy. And at that point, I knew I wanted to have a home birth. Oh, I had told my husband before we got pregnant, I had told him, I was like, when we kind of started talking about like getting ready for the second one, I was like, all right, there's two things that have to happen. I was like, I want a home birth and you have to take off at least 20 days from work. And I was like, and if you don't want to do those two things or you can't do those two things, I don't want to have a second kid. Like those, yeah. Like I have to know that you're willing to do this. And you know, that was we had that conversation a couple of months before I found out I was pregnant. And of course, I mean, he's awesome. He was like, of course, like at first I think the home birth, he was like, wait, what? But he also trusts me like so much. Like I'm such like the researcher when it comes to like all this stuff. And I just kind of like listen to all this like podcasts or research or whatever. And then I come back to him and I'm like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. And he's like, okay. And you know, it makes sense to him too. Like when I put it out there, he's like, yeah, it makes sense. Let's do it. So when we found out, I had already like kind of been like looking at some midwives, like, and I pretty much already knew who I wanted to use because even before we got pregnant, I had already like kind of, just doing some, again, research preparing, you know, about the midwives in the area. I guess I was fearful there weren't going to be a lot. And while there's not a ton where I am, there were options. So that was nice. And I also like with being so sick with my daughter, that was like another thing that I really wanted to try to not happen, which I know is not always, you can't always control it, but I had read and learned that like, you know, a lot of times it can be like a vitamin A deficiency or a vitamin B deficiency, or, you know, it can be not always, but it can be a nutrient deficient, situation that causes the morning sickness. So I really, put an effort before I got pregnant to start like, you know, being better about eating those foods or supplementing. And, it paid off. I told him, I like I told like my husband and a couple friends, I was like, I don't have morning sickness with this one. It's because of that, because I was so sick with my daughter. And it really did pay off, like just paying attention to that stuff more. I was sick with him for a little bit, but by 9 weeks, like it was all gone. And I never actually like threw up with him. I would just feel that, like, you know how it is. You just feel kind of icky. So that was like, yeah, by 9 weeks, I totally, like, I felt so much better. I think by 9 weeks, too, we had decided on the midwives that we wanted to use, which was awesome. And, yeah, the appointments were just so much different. Like, kind of like talking about before, how I would leave, like, just wanting to cry and just feeling like, man, this is supposed to feel so special, and it doesn't. Like, it was just so different. Like, the appointments would be like an hour long. Like, I would leave actually exhausted, because we would just talk so much, and like, and it was like a lot of information, but like good information. And you know, you just kind of leave from there like a little like, oh, like you kind of need to take a moment, but in a good way, not a bad way. And so yeah, it was so different. Everyone was like so lovely, and just so it was just different. It was awesome. I don't know. And you know how the process is. So we decided that we were only going to do one ultrasound, and that was at 20 weeks. And we were very back and forth if we were going to decide if we were going to find out, like, if it was a boy or a girl. And my husband didn't want to. He wanted to wait, and I was open to it. But I'm definitely more of like a type A, like to plan kind of person. And I think I would have been able to do it, but, and you know that this was like the biggest stressor in my pregnancy, was we decided to do an addition and a remodel on our house while I was pregnant. That was something we had like started before I got pregnant, and we were kind of like, we were in the very beginning stages of it, of like, you know, you have to like submit plans and you have to find contractors. Like, we were still in that stage of like when I found out, but we were very like kind of lollygagging with it, like just kind of doing a little bit here and there. But then when I got pregnant, we were like, okay, are we going to continue with this or put it on hold? And we knew it was like a pretty big deal, because it was going to be like an addition onto the house, and then a remodel of like our kitchen, living room, and laundry room. So like our bedrooms wouldn't be touched, but everything else was going to be uprooted. So we had to make the decision of like, well, one, do we want to continue with it? And if we do, like, where are we going to live? Like, you know, we can't cook. We don't have a kitchen. And so we decided to kind of like make a makeshift kitchen in our basement. We were lucky enough that we have a big basement, but so that we could kind of like relocate our living space down there. Yeah, I don't know. It was a lot. It was a lot. Like, I'm so glad we did it. And I knew that like once we got on the other side of it, it would be great. But like, it was pretty chaotic, because by the time we got to the point where we could actually do the build part of it, it was November. So, I mean, I was already like 5 months pregnant, ish, somewhere in there. I mean, that's pretty far along in your pregnancy. And you know, like, it's stressful. Like, I mean, when I say makeshift kitchen, like, we were cooking off of like a camp, like we were using like camping stuff, mm-hmm. like, you know. So that was definitely really stressful. And I don't know what we were thinking. Like, we talked about it of like, okay, here's our timeline. We should be done by March. But, you know, stuff happens, and like, building industry right now is kind of crazy, and contractors just can quit on you, like, da da da. Like, you know, we kind of laid out all like the scenarios. And I remember being so like calm about it at that time of like, well, if we're not upstairs, like back upstairs, like by the time the baby comes, like, it'll be fine. Like, we'll just like live out of the basement. Like, it won't be a big deal. I don't know what I was thinking, because I would have been a hot mess if that actually had happened. Thank God it didn't. We were able to get it done in time, and we had a good solid month of being back upstairs in our new space before he arrived, which was great. But it still was a lot. Like, I don't recommend it to anybody, but at the same time, I understand. Like, you do kind of feel like, well, it's now or never, or right. We might have to wait like 2 years to do this. And so anyways, that was fun. But because of that, I just felt like I couldn't wait to find out if it was a boy or girl because everything was so up in the air. Like, you want to do all of this nesting, and I couldn't nest anything. And so the one thing that I was like, that I could nest would be the nursery, right? Like getting it ready and feeling prepared. And while I know that you can do like gender neutral stuff, I just like, it's not really like the theme that I wanted to go for. Like, I had a very, you know, you have a vision of like how you want a little boy's room look and how you want a little girl's room to look. And the gender neutral just didn't really like speak to me. And so I just was like, okay, well, this is like the one thing I can control, like in the entire house, like I could get this ready. And then on top of it too, like, obviously I had all the girl stuff, like I had all the girl clothes and I had all these totes in our basement of girl stuff. And I'm like, they're just sitting there. Like, it would just feel really nice to be able to go through them now and prepare if it is a girl. And if it's not, like, you know, actually get some boy stuff. So we decided to find out, and it was a boy.
And you knew it.
And I knew it. I knew it from day one, but, you know, it was awesome. Like, I like when they told us, I just like cried. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I just felt so lucky that like we have a little girl, and then now we're going to be able to have a little boy. So I just felt like so blessed. And the rest of my pregnancy, other than like doing the remodel, I mean, I had a very healthy pregnancy. There was nothing that was crazy that happened. You know, obviously the experience with the midwives was awesome. They let me choose, you know, they would give me informed consent about, you know, anything that we needed to do done, like get done extra, as far as testing. And they would talk to you about it and put it all out there and let you decide. And whatever, you know, you would decide, you didn't get, like, you didn't feel like they were judging you or anything like that. It just, you felt very in control, of the whole process. And, to prepare for this, I knew that I needed to do a lot of inner work, and I knew that I needed to, let go of some stuff. You know, I was holding on to a lot of stuff from Cora's experience, and I didn't obviously want things to go this way. So I was like, all right, you need to do some work around that. And that's how I got to work with you, which was awesome. I decided to do the Home Birth Collective, which was amazing and awesome. Like, we met once a week, which it seems like a lifetime ago now, but like it was so therapeutic. Like, I did not expect to get that out of it. Like, it wasn't even just like stuff that like I worked through, like with the pregnancy and like birth. It was like stuff I worked through from like my childhood. Like, you know, like you really like took us back to the beginning, like the very beginning, and was like, let's start here. And, let's work through this. And like, I had some really like major breakthrough moments, during like some of the homeworks that you gave us. And I truly like, then the way that like you put stuff out there, like to help our perspective and like to help us like let go of fears, like there's no way. I mean, there is a way, but it helped tremendously to prepare me and to get me where I needed to be to have this home birth and to have it so that I knew that I was in control and that everything was going to be okay, you know? Because again, like you can't, in my opinion, you can't just say, I'm going to have a natural birth. I'm going to have a home birth. Like I did that the first time, like, oh, I'm going to have a natural birth. Like I wasn't going to just say this. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a home birth. And you know, you have to prepare for it. Like if you want a certain experience, you want a certain outcome, whether that is your pregnancy, that is your, birth and your postpartum, like you truly have to put the effort into it and make a plan and manifest it. And,
I love hearing that from you, especially because I really comparing those two, the first pregnancy and the second. I remember when, I can't remember how it came up, but we were having our coaching call and someone was talking about, you know, their midwife, and you had said, like, I asked her, like, what are you going to do if this baby is breech? What are you going to do if I go, because I'm not doing it. Like, I just remember being like, that is exactly it. That is taking charge of your experience.
Yeah. I mean, you can't prepare for everything, but with the things that I could prepare for, I was like, okay, you know, and I made sure like I was on the same page with them. And, And yeah, and I, and that was, it was so like helpful then in our coaching calls to like be able to like bounce all that off and be like, okay, guys, like, what are y'all doing? Like, you know, it just was so helpful to have other like-minded people, because not a, you don't have, I don't have a lot of people yeah. that like think like this when it comes to like their birthing experience. Not a lot of people do. Right. So it's like, it definitely was so nice. Like these women were scattered over, you know, the United States, and, but yet like every week I felt like I had like this like internal, like, just group hug, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just like, you got this, you can do it. And to know other people were going through the same thing that, you know, we were going through too.
Yeah.
So it was amazing. It was everything that I needed it to be. And it definitely helped me like get to where I needed to be to have like the perfect scenario. So I think I covered everything for the most part up until the actual birth. And I don't think I'm missing anything, but maybe I am. So I'm just going to that.
Yeah. Liz, I am so excited. I am seriously so excited to hear this.
Yeah. So, I guess I didn't mention with my daughter, she was 4 days late. And so I just assumed that I would go like around 40 weeks. And again, like I tried, like, you know, it was one of those things where like, I'm not going to fixate on the due date. Like, I'm not going to do that. And it was actually really my guest date, I'm putting quotation marks up, was the middle of March. And so it really actually helped throughout my entire pregnancy when people, because, you know, everyone asked, what are you due? And I could just say the middle of March, or like, I would say, no, I wouldn't say the middle of March. I would say I'm due in March, because I knew if I went early, I would have him in the beginning of March. And if I went late, I was going to have him towards the end of March. So that actually really helped my whole pregnancy. I know not everybody can do that, because you might be, you know, right on the line, but usually if you said that, like, people wouldn't press any further of like, I know, but what's the exact date? Because I just really didn't want to like put that out there, because I was trying so hard not to fixate on it. And of course, though, once March 13th was my guest date, and of course once that date came, it did feel like I did feel some anxiety, like kind of like, okay, any day now. And I tried so hard not to do that, but I couldn't help it. And then, you know, my daughter, she was born at 40 and 4. So I just assumed, you know, that I would go before that. And I didn't. I ended up going 10 days late, and it was hard. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, those 10 days were like every day, like, I just felt like to keep my mind in like a good place. I knew that is what I needed to do to be able to rock this birth. Right. And so to wake up every single day and to kind of like do your rituals or to have certain things done around the house that would keep your mind in a good place. Like, it just became exhausting, you know, each day that passed. Cause, you know, I felt, again, type A, I wanted the house to be clean. I didn't want there to be any laundry. I wanted the food, or I want the fridge to be stocked, like, you know, with food, not just for me, but for the midwives. Like, you know, I wanted like everything to be a certain way. And, I remember there were so many times, like, I would go to the store and like do big, like, grocery run. I'm like, this has to be the last one. Like, you know, I'm sure this will be the last one. And then, you know, like 4 days later, I'd be back because we ate all the food that I bought or whatever. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, so you definitely start to get that feeling of like, it's never going to happen. And I definitely felt that way. I was like, I'm never going to have this baby. But I had a lot of prodromal labor, which was a lot different again with my daughter. I didn't have any prodromal labor with her. Like, the first contraction I felt with her was labor. And I also didn't have a lot of Braxton Hicks with her. And this one I had a lot of Braxton Hicks. And he was like in the perfect position the whole time. And of course that last week, he wasn't breech, but he turned posterior, because, you know, you want him anterior to, and I was so worried about back labor. So there's just certain things that I would kind of obsess over a little bit. And that was one of them, of like, I gotta keep him in this right position. And I didn't mention this, but I saw a chiropractor my entire pregnancy, a Webster certified chiropractor. I also saw an osteopath doctor my entire pregnancy. And he would do like a lot of fascial releases, but then also like cranial sacral work. And I've always done Pilates, but I did Pilates my whole pregnancy too. Wasn't a pregnancy thing. I've always done that. But those are like some things I had done to prepare my body make sure that he was in the right position. And of course, that last like couple visits with the midwives, they're like, he's posterior. So I did a lot of, I did the mouse circuit several times. I did a lot of bouncing on the ball those last 10 days. And then, you know, the prodromal labor, I mean, that was what was really doing me in, because there were several times where I thought I was in labor. I thought it was in early labor because it felt like early labor with my daughter. And, you know, it would fizzle out. And that was so disheartening, and you just like don't want to get everybody excited. And then it's like, then nothing happens. So he was born on a Thursday, but that Tuesday night beforehand, I had another round of prodromal labor the whole night, and it went all the way until 10 a.m. the next day on Wednesday. But there was no consistency to them. They're really spread out. They weren't painful, you know, like it just was there, but around 10 a.m. on Wednesday, it fizzled out. And I wanted my mom to be at this birth too, to mainly help with my daughter. I wanted my daughter to be present. I thought it was important. And the whole time we were like, you know, we're really going to follow her lead on it. But that was where my mom came in. Cause obviously like I wasn't going to be able to, take her away, or my husband wasn't gonna be able to take her away if she was starting to get like scared or just not really understanding. And I did prepare her beforehand. Like we would talk about it. We would watch birth videos, and like, she loved it. Like she loved watching them with me. And like, especially cause like the pool, like, I mean, anything with water and kids, like they get excited. So like, she would have a lot of questions about like the birth pool. And like, she even asked me beforehand, she was like, can I get in there with you? And I was like, we'll see, you know, cause you just don't know how you're
going to feel. Let's play it by ear.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, you know, you see some videos or whatever, like the kids, like you're in the pool with the mom. And I'm like, I think that's great. I think whatever, like, however it happens, and like that might happen for me, but it might not happen. So we just were like, well, we'll see. So that's why I really wanted my mom here. And that Wednesday morning, like I had been keeping her updated, and she was like, Kinsey, again, she lives 2 hours away. 10 days passed through. So she's kind of like every day living on the, like, am I going to get this call where I need to jump into the car and run down? And so she was like, let me just come down. Like, just let me come down. And I just was like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to get everyone excited. And I don't want you to like you could be here all weekend. And she's like, that's fine. Like, I can help with Cora. And at that point, when you are like 40 weeks pregnant plus, and someone says, I'll help you with your kids, you're like, okay,
come on down.
Okay, come on down. I'll feed you. Like, just come on. So she did. And, So again, the contractions had stopped. And again, I was like, oh my gosh, how many more times am I going to have this? And that night, we actually went to the osteopath doctor. But it wasn't for me, it was for my husband, because he was having some like TMJ problems. And I was like, I'm gonna go with you, and we'll go out to eat, because my mom was there. So again, I was like, this be our last like little, maybe our last little hurrah, or I might just be pregnant forever, which is what I was thinking at that point. So we went to that appointment, and then we went to go get some food. And during that time period, I had a couple more contractions, but again, at that point, I was just like, so like, I didn't even say anything like when it was happening, because I felt like I was like the boy who cried wolf, like, you know, no one was like taking it serious at that point. And so I definitely was feeling like really like discouraged and stuff. And like, we got back, I took a bath, did my nighttime ritual of just like trying to get my headspace like where like I needed to be, and went to bed. And I woke up around 1 a.m. to our electricity going out. I know that sounds crazy to wake up to silence, but when your electricity goes out, like the house is just like a different level of silence. And it just like woke me up right when it went out. Thank goodness it came back on immediately after. But I kind of laid there thinking like, oh my gosh, like wouldn't that be wild? Like if like, you know, the electricity was out the whole time. And I think I got up and I went to the bathroom. And again, I had mentioned like my husband was having like some TMJ problems. So I knew he was awake, and because I could just tell he was like wrestling around. I think he was in pain or like whatever. So like I could tell he was wrestling around. So like I was like, our electricity just went out. So we started talking about that. And we were laying there just kind of talking, and I had a couple of contractions, and they were very close. Like all the other prodromal labor, like they were really far apart. But I didn't say anything because again, I was just like, it's probably just prodromal labor. But pretty quickly, I mean, I would say within 5 minutes or 10 minutes, like I was like, I don't know, these feel kind of different, but I didn't want to get excited. I think I even mentioned something to him, but we did, like, he just like kept on talking about something else. Cause he was just like, whatever, like, it's probably not the real thing. And, I guess that, like, I know it wasn't long. I know it was around 1:30 when those contractions, like the first one started, and something inside of me was just like, I think this is it. Like, I think this is going to be it. And I had, you know, in my mind, I knew that when I went into labor, like I wanted to make sure that I had eaten something, was hydrated. Well, with it being 1 a.m, like it was kind of a weird time. So I was like, I'm going to go ahead and just get up and go eat something. I'm not going to be able to sleep. Like, because even if it is prodromal labor, like I'm not going to be able to sleep. So it's like, I'm just going to go ahead and eat something. Like make me an adrenal cocktail and maybe they'll fizzle out and then I can go back to bed. But like, we'll just see like what happens. And during that, like the day before, I had made some good collard greens with bone broth. So I went out, had myself a bowl of collard greens and bone broth, made an adrenal cocktail. But very quickly, like as I'm out there, and again, it had only been like 10 or 15 minutes since my first ones, like I was like feeling the need to kind of like lean into the countertops. And I was like, okay, like I'll just practice. Like, you know, I need to start like kind of learning, like just practicing, like letting my body just, you know, relax and all the stuff, right? All the stuff that we have been preparing for. But I wasn't practicing. Like it was like very quickly, I was like, okay, I need to like kind of breathe into this one. And I really need to check in with my pelvis and my pelvic floor and everything in my body, my jaw, my shoulders, like you need to relax, girl. Like I could tell, like I was already starting to tense up. So I came back to the bedroom, and later my husband had said to me, he's like, yeah, I heard you out there. Like this was afterwards, like, you know, the next day when we're talking about, he's like, yeah, when I heard you out there breathing through him, I was like, okay, like, you know, she's already kind of, this is quick. And I came back, I immediately got on the ball, and, pretty soon he was still laying in bed, and I was like, can you get out a, like a timer, because they were definitely coming. They weren't like 15, 20 minutes apart, like my prodromal labor. Like these were definitely like anywhere from like 3 to 5 minutes. And I was like, can you get out your like phone and let's start timing them. And so he's sitting there, and I mean, it just was instant. Like it just went so fast. And it was like to the point where, like, you know, I'm like breathing through him, I'm doing all this stuff, but like he doesn't realize, you know, that what I'm feeling, right? And so he's still trying, he's just laying there. And then eventually I'm like, you need to get up. Like, you need to get up. You need to start like getting all the birth stuff out. Or like come over here. I don't know. Like, I just need you to get up. Like, stuff's happening. Time to like get out of bed. So he gets out of bed. He starts getting like all of our birth stuff out, and so that it would be ready for the midwives. But I mean, they were like pretty strong, pretty fast. And so I was like, I also wanted him there with me, you know, like I wanted him beside me. Like it just made me feel better. So he would run out, like try to do a couple things and then run back in. I was like, all right, this isn't working. Like we need to wake my mom up. Like she's here. Like let's wake her up. Like she can get all the birth stuff out. And then, again, I still don't think he kind of like realized like how like I was feeling, because he was like, I mean, if you want to, like, are you sure? Like, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm sure, like, go get her. So that was probably around 2:30, so an hour into it. And at the same time, I said, we need to text the midwives, because it was going to take them an hour to get to our house. And I was like, we need to text them. And this is definitely it. This isn't prodromal labor. Like, we need to text them. Well, he still was like fixated on timing my contractions. I don't know why, but he was. And he drafted up the message on my phone, but never sent it, because he says that he wanted to give them as much information as possible of like, well, they're coming this far apart, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay. Like, but he didn't tell me, he didn't send it. Like, I don't really know what happened, but sometime around 3:00, I pick up my phone and I see that he never sent it. And I was like, oh, I was like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Like, you didn't even like let them know. So we sent it, and then very shortly after, I was like, you need to call them, because we're waiting for them to respond to a text at 3 a.m. Like, yeah, we need to call them. And so we called, and she wanted to listen to me. The midwife wanted to listen to me go through a contraction. And she was like, okay, I'm going to take a shower and I'm going to be over. And again, I'm like, a shower? Like, it takes an hour to get here. Like, you know, I'm like, no one's like, and I also was like, not really, I guess, realizing like how fast it was going. So at some point I got onto the bed, and because I was on the ball for a lot of it, and there's something the midwife said to me that, like, I'm so glad that she said it and it really stuck. She just said, okay, I'm gonna take a shower, I'll be over. But she's like, when you get into these different positions, like, stay there for a couple contractions. Cause I was kind of starting to get a little fidgety where I'm like, okay, let's try this. And you would just do it for one contraction. You're like, that didn't feel good. Let's do this. And so she was like, stay there for a couple of contractions, because it can kind of take a little bit for you, like, to kind of like sink into that position. I'm really glad she said that, because I do feel like I would have kept on like, just being fidgety with it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that didn't work, let's go to the next thing, you know? So that definitely like helped a lot. And I got onto the bed, and I got like into like an exaggerated Sims position, like onto my side, which it's so funny. Like, you can vision your labor as much as you want. Like, I did not imagine me like laying down. Like, I thought I would be definitely like a mover, a swayer, like whatever. But like, that's just where my body went. And it, you know, for the most part, it felt good. You know, I definitely was progressing really fast. I didn't know that I was progressing really fast. So there was a moment of like, wow, this is really strong, really fast. It's only been 2 hours. Like, I could be here for another 20 hours, because right, my daughter was 25 hours. So there was a moment where fear definitely started to creep in. It's because I was going through transition, like 1000%. Like, it's like, you know, afterwards, when you step back and you look at it, you're like, okay, yeah, you're definitely going through transition. Cause I started having those fears of like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Like, this is happening really fast. Like, it's not like, I was having a hard time like staying on top of the contractions, because some of them were like, they were overlapping each other. Like they were, when I say back to back, they were back to back, and I wasn't getting a break. So that definitely is kind of hard to like reset in between. And if I could keep my mind good for a contraction, I could handle it. Like, I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, I could stay in a good place, but then some of them I would lose it. And it was the ones that were like back to back that I would have a hard time like keeping my head like in that place. But I did all the stuff we talked about. Like, there were so many times like my mind like went back to like any of our coaching calls or just like anything of just like, you know, you can do anything, like one more contraction, one more at a time. And definitely in the beginning, like, because I had so much prodromal labor and I was 10 days late, like, I definitely was like, every contraction I was like, thank you. Like, you know, you hear women saying that, of like thanking each contraction. And I think because like I was so overdue, like, I really was like, there were moments where I was like, yeah, this kind of sucks, but I'm so glad it's happening at the same time. Like, I've been waiting for this. So while I was going through transition, but obviously I didn't realize it, I had the sensation of throwing up too. So it was like textbook, like, and I was in that exaggerated Sims position. And then like all of a sudden, like, I just felt like a shift in my body. Like, yeah, you can't really explain it. It was just like, my body just said, get up and get on all fours. And so I did, but I swear I didn't even have the thought process. Like, it was just like, I just did it. And I had a couple of contractions like that, but I was starting to feel the urge to push. And I was like, there's no way. Like, there's no way. Like, I've not been here. Like, this is crazy. Like, there's no way. And I mean, I definitely was like, I guess I was kind of doubting myself a little bit of like, there's no way. And I was like, well, I'm just going to lean into this feeling. And it felt so good. Like, it felt so good to just like kind of bear down, like moan through those and to start pushing. And I did that for a couple of contractions. And then I finally said to my husband, because he didn't realize like that's what I was doing. And I said to him, like, I'm pushing. And he just said nothing, because nobody was here yet. And my mom, she's like out there like trying to set stuff up for the birth pool. And like at one point, like, she like came back and she's like, what essential oil do you want? You said out lavender, jasmine. I'm like, I don't even care about that right now. She also had no idea that it was, where we were with all this. I mean, I didn't either, And so, I was like, yeah, I don't really care about essential oils right now. I just got to focus on this. And, so I said that to him and he just went silent. He just was didn't say much. And then maybe 5 minutes later, he could see headlights pull in, and he's thank God that they're here. It was the first person to get there was the student midwife. And she came in and I was Jessica, I'm pushing. And she's okay, well, Crystal will be here soon. And I'm just but in that moment, it's wild. I know this sounds, I don't know if this sounds crazy or not, but in that moment, I felt it was already over with, in the sense of I knew I had gone through the hardest part, pushing, yeah, I mean, it's still taxing and it's still it's intense, but to me, transition is obviously the hardest part. And so in my mind, I had already got to the finish line in a way. And that was kind of nice. I was oh my gosh, you did it. I was already celebrating. While I was pushing, I was just you did it, you got through the hardest part, this is great. And very soon after that, the midwife showed up. Her name is Crystal. And we're all in my bedroom, including my dogs, and we're all in there. And I was still on all fours, and everything in my body was saying, get out of bed. Get out of the bed, but I couldn't. I was concrete to the bed. It was listening to my intuition. My intuition was telling me to get out of bed, but I was having a really hard time making myself move. And I did push for a lot longer than I needed to. He was there. When she got there, she said that she thought I was gonna have him pretty much right then, but it went a lot longer. I probably pushed for another 30 minutes after she got there. And I kept on just thinking okay, one more, let me just give one more good one and he'll come. But that wasn't happening. So she did say, she was do you want to try to get onto the birth stool? And I was yes, I do, but I don't want to get out of bed. But as soon as I got out of bed, got onto the birth stool, I mean, I had him pretty much right away. Obviously the birth pool never got set up, which is totally fine. Another kind of funny story, I guess, if you want to look at it like that. I'm such a water person. I take a bath almost every single night. I love showers, ocean, river, any sort of water is that's my zone. So of course, I imagine being in the birth pool with the twinkle lights and all this stuff. But even that, I imagined my early labor, being in the shower or being in the pool or being in our tub. And, we have a well, and so our water is not very good. So we have a water softener, water cleaner, whatever you want to call it, to make sure our water is good. And it does a regeneration every once in a while, where it it will kind of stop cleaning our water so it can clean itself. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know, it was doing that, because we have it set to do it at night. It was doing that while I was in, I guess, early labor, before they got there, because I had asked my husband to turn, to get the tub going, because again, things were happening so fast. I was I need some relief. I'm going to go ahead and get in the tub. And he was he came back and he's yeah, the water's brown. So I was oh my gosh. But I was so it was okay. I wasn't panicky. I wasn't are you kidding me? I was just okay, that's fine. It is what it is. So I didn't get to even touch water, which now, again, everything happens for a reason. I'm totally fine. I'm not heartbroken that I didn't get to have a water birth. But there are times when I'm even just taking a shower now and it feels so good. And I'm just man, I just wonder what my experience would have been if I could have touched it at least just for a little bit. But when I got on the birth stool, right away, I think I had one contraction, and the next contraction, he was born to his eyeballs. Mm. And then I had, they were on top of each other, right? And then they just like stopped. And it took 5 minutes, which 5 minutes is a really long time when you have a baby born to your eyeballs. It took 5 minutes for the next one to come. And it was just such a surreal moment though. Cause like it was like 5:30 like 5:20-ish. And the lights were off. I just had like some LED candles. The windows were open because obviously it was like getting hot. We live really close to a train track and like I could hear a train coming. And it was just silent. Like it was just dead silent because nobody was obviously saying anything. They were giving me my space. And then it was like nighttime. So it was just like dead silent. And I'm like, well, like I feel like we've talked about it. I've heard other people talk about how like your contractions do slow down. Is that right? Like they do slow down around that time, so you don't tear. Is that like
that can happen? I mean, okay. Obviously, there's just so many variations of
yeah. So that's like in the moment, like I wasn't like what's going on? What's wrong? Like did my body just like stop? I knew everything was fine, but it was like, oh my gosh, like we have it on video. And I mean, I'm just like, we're all like, there's a moment I'm just like, what, why isn't it like coming? And the midwife did that, tell me, she's like, lean forward, like try to rock your body a little bit. And as soon as like I did that, the next one came and he was born. And it was, oh my gosh, it was just like, it was just so awesome. Like I just could cry like talking about it now.
So, okay. So he's born to his eyeballs.
Yeah.
And then there were 5 minutes. And then was he like eyeballs down to feet was born after?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it was like born to eyeballs, 5 minutes. And then the next contraction, he was born all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the way. And my husband got to help catch him and they brought him to my chest right away. And like literally, this is like funny when you watch back and like you watch yourself, like it was so magical, but like all I could say was, he's perfect, he's perfect. Like I probably said it like 20 times and I'm just like ugly crying. Like I was like, he's so perfect. Like it was just like, and he still is. Like it was just like absolutely perfect. And like it just was like, oh my gosh, like it was just like the best ever. So they bring him to my chest and, you know, I'm just like sitting there, like naturally just like rocking back forth with him. Like he let out his first cry. Like it was just everything that I could like ask for. Like the only person that really touched me like that entire time was my husband, like giving me hip squeezes. Like I moved from one position to the next position based off of like what my body wanted to do. You know, I feel like my midwives, like they never, like whenever they did like have to say anything or like kind of give me like a little pointer, it was always just like such perfect timing. Like it wasn't like they were being too much. It was like in moments where they could truly see like maybe I just needed just a little help, which, you know, is great, right? And it just was like, to me, it was just like perfect. And then like right after that, we never woke up my daughter just because it never felt like right. Like, so like I wanted her to be there, but it really did just happen so fast. It was in the middle of the night. It just never felt, I guess, right to go wake her up. Like it never just like crossed my mind. But as soon as she was born, like we went and got her. So he was born at 5:24 a.m. and like we have pictures and like she's in bed with us at like 5:28. So I mean, she was like there like right afterwards. And she just looked kind of like stunned at first because obviously she just got woken up. There's like a bunch of people in my bedroom. I mean, she is 4 years old. Like now the baby's out of me, like, you know, so she didn't say much at first. She just kind of was like, what is going on? But we all climbed into bed. They got me comfortable. He latched like right away. And there's a train going by right now, if you can hear it. And so then they got us all comfortable and they went out, all like the team, like the midwives and the team like went out, and it was just so cool. Like by this point, like the sun's like starting to come up and like my husband and I and my daughter, like we're just like hanging out in the bed, and you know, the midwives hang around for a little bit just to make sure that like you're okay. I did bleed just a little bit, like it was still in the normal range, but it was like on the higher end, but it was never like, no one ever like made it seem panicky. Like, it was just like, okay, like, you know, you're bleeding just a little bit more. And they did give me some herbs and it helped. We like for a second, like we just, discussed, like I had some side effect that like we discussed like taking, but, it just never got to that point because the herbs helped with it. And it was never like, I never even was like nervous about it. Like they mentioned it to me, like, but not in like a fearful way, just so, like, I just want, you know, but like, and I never was like, oh, okay. Like I was just like, I'll be fine. Like it's fine. It did take me a little bit longer to deliver the placenta. Like it was like over an hour, but like, again, like normal. And they, you know, weren't like my body, it was just like after I had him, my body just like stopped. Like there were no more contractions coming to deliver the placenta. So like even an hour later, I was like, yeah, I'm not feeling anything. So I didn't really particularly care for that part. I just didn't like it. Like they did give me some herbs to like help get the contractions going again. And it was just like, I just gave birth and those were painful. Like, I don't know. It was like, I was like having a harder time, like mentally getting through those than I was like the real contractions. But yeah, finally got that out, and that felt so good to finally to get that out and to be done with that. And we just got to hang out that morning, and they, all went out there. My mom made everybody breakfast. She made me breakfast, and it was like so cool. Like I could just like hear the midwives out there like talking, and that was just, I don't know why, like maybe some people would find that annoying, but like, I just thought it was so cool just like to hear this like inner like circle of like the midwife and their team like talk. Like, I don't know. Like it was just, they were like kind of just like talking about like other births and like their day and like this and that. And I'm just like, that's just so cool. Like, I'm just like hearing, it's like an insider, and like, I'm just laying back here holding my baby. Like this is just, I don't know. It just felt so special and just so sweet. He ended up being 8 pounds and 12 ounces, which I was pretty shocked by because I'm kind of petite. My daughter was petite. So like, I did not expect to have an 8 pound, 12 ounce baby, but he's a big boy and he's still a chunk. Oh my gosh. Like he's almost already 13 pounds and he's 7 weeks old. Like he is a chunk. But he's so sweet. He's so squishy and cuddly. And I just love him so much. And we named him Credence James, and we call him Creed. James is my husband's name, so he got the middle name. And, yeah, so my postpartum experience has been like totally different. Like I've truly tried to honor the first 40 days, which I'm out of it now. And it was hard. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like it was actually a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I definitely prepared myself for that. Cause obviously I talked about with my daughter, like how hard it was to keep me in the house for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, wow, this is going to be hard. But it was really awesome. I had, you just have to ask, like our primary care physician is his pediatrician. They came to do it, like his first wellness check at our house. I had my osteopathic doctor came to our house to do cranial sacral work on him when he was like 3 days old or maybe 2 days old. I'm not sure. And he worked on me too. And my chiropractor, the one that did Webster technique, like I asked her too, and they all were like, yeah, I'll do a home visit. And like, I feel like you just like, don't think that like doctors will do that. And I'm sure some of them won't, but it like, just ask. And because if you don't have to leave the house, like it is so nice. Like, I mean, I don't like, other than that, I mean, it was awesome. Amazing. Again, I'm out of my 40 days, and I would say like, I don't like to say that like he's a harder baby. Cause like, I don't think that that's fair to like say that one baby's harder than another baby. Cause every baby has different needs. But if we were going to compare and contrast between him and my daughter, he has higher needs than my daughter. And but it's like wild because like I've been able, like I don't feel like she felt harder in the sense of, I guess it just felt harder for me. Mm-hmm. Like she was easier, but it was harder for me. He is harder, but it's been easier for me to just like navigate through it and just like, and to truly just enjoy the moments when it is hard, you know, and just appreciate like this life that I was given. Yeah, so it's been really good. I mean, I'm not going to lie and say that there hasn't been moments, because postpartum is hard and you're tired. And, you know, the hardest part has been for me navigating, learning how to be a mom to two. Mm-hmm. that definitely is a transition in itself.
Amen. That was an intense one for me as well. Yeah. Even with lying in and all of that.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I prepared so much more for this postpartum season. Like I said, like I put that stipulation out there in the beginning with my husband of like, you have to take off 20 days, which he did. My mom, like I was like, mom, how much time can you take off from work? Like I need you there as much as possible. And so we kind of worked out this schedule. Someone gave me some really great advice, and anybody who's listened to this is about to have a baby, I think this is great advice, but like write out your dream schedule. Like even if you don't think it's possible, like, oh, I would like somebody with me until 30 days or whatever. Like, and if you're just like, that's not possible, just write it out. Like, just write out your perfect dream schedule. Even if you have other children, like who's taking care of those kids? How are you getting food? Like write it all out and then start plugging in the pieces or the people or the services that you can, in those spots. And it was like, kind of crazy. Like once I did that, I wrote out like the dream schedule, and my husband and I looked at it and we just were like, okay, well, like we can do this and this. And then the spots that we didn't like think that like we could do, I was able to, I mean, we are fortunate enough like that I was able to hire a postpartum doula to kind of like pick up like that extra slack. And she was amazing because she helped us with like a lot of meal prepping. Like I had made meals ahead of time, but like you can't prepare for that much food. So she was awesome. And again, my mom was here as much as possible, like helping with my daughter. And the only time I really didn't leave the house, like I left a couple times and they were for like other, like the midwife came to me for the first 2 weeks, and then after that I had to go see them. So like that was like pretty much like the first time I left the house, and it's been great. Like it really has been. So
that's the goal, Mackenzie. You took it seriously. Yeah. And I know that it has to be paying off and will continue to pay off.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you mentioned, it reminded me, so you were saying, you know, it's not like it's easy, like this idea of resting. It doesn't come naturally to us in a lot of ways. I was actually just speaking before this interview, like a few days ago, with one of my really good, wise, wonderful friends. And she was like, no, it's a discipline of rest. It's mm-hmm. the discipline yeah. of rest. So shout out Christina. That is really sticking with me and resonating. But yes, it's something that we have to plan for and should be planning for. And it's something that takes our attention and our discipline. And I do believe that a lot of it is also nervous system related. You know how I love yeah. to talk about the nervous system, yeah. but you know, being able to get ourselves in a place of relaxation can be hard if we're living in fight or flight all of the time, which so many of us are, just because that's the way our culture is set up. Yeah. So I'm so grateful for you to have had that time to also have allowed your nervous system to do all of that healing, to allow your body to do all of that healing, and to bond with this precious baby that has different levels of need at different times, and just the way that it changes when we have two now to care for. Like that's just, yeah. it's just different. It's just a thing that we learn to go along with. Yeah. But your story is so beautiful, and you are such a wonderful storyteller, by the way.
Oh like, gosh, well, I feel like I just rambled, but I hope
it wasn't. No, you carried us through so beautifully. It was such a wonderful journey. I know moms are going to just eat this up and love this and feel so capable of doing it too. Like, oh, I can replicate this.
Yes. Yeah. Anybody can do it. I hope that's one thing that like anyone gets out of this. Like you can do it. You just have to put it out there and yeah. it will happen. And you deserve it. You deserve it.
Yes. And taking it seriously, just like you said, you took things seriously in this pregnancy throughout. It didn't just fall in your lap. You really worked for this. And I'm just so thrilled for you. And it was such a joy. It was such a joy to hear your story and to have you. So Mackenzie, thank you so much for coming on the Happy Home Birth Podcast.
Thank you.
What a beautiful storyteller Mackenzie is. As we head into this week's episode roundup, one tidbit keeps circulating in my mind.
the way that we feel about ourselves and our experience in pregnancy is extremely related to our birth experience, our postpartum, and our motherhood journey. Mackenzie's pregnancy with her daughter Cora involved care providers who left her feeling uncertain about herself, her decisions, her ability to give birth and mother her baby. All of this dynamic was already in play before she even headed to the hospital to have her baby. When the nurse asked, "Do you want to try to push?" her mind immediately began to question, "Well, should I? Surely someone should tell me." This type of care is so common, and I truly believe that it leads so many mothers to question themselves on all kinds of matters when the truth is that you know your body and baby more than anyone else ever could. You are not a small piece of this puzzle. You are the puzzle. When Mackenzie switched to home birth and midwife attended care with her second child, she began to truly embody this reality, which led to starkly different choices, feelings, and experiences. She shared how, because of where she is mentally and in her heart, she's able to navigate through the challenges of motherhood with more grace, ease, and fluidity than ever before. It's amazing to hear such an undeniable change. Okay, my friends, that's all I've got for you for today. I'll see you back here next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Are you looking to extend the home birth support, encouragement, and education? Join us in our Facebook group, Happy Home Birth Podcast Community, and check us out on Instagram at Happy Home Birth Podcast.